It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. Noodles off today. Jonas Siegel in here from the Canadian Press. As always, every Friday, we're giving away an Old Tomorrow Craft Beer prize pack valued at over $100. So in honor of Mail It In Friday, tweet us at Overdrive1050 how you are planning to mail it in this afternoon. Winner must be 19 years of age or older. So as Dennis Eckersley would say, have an idea.
Have an idea.
Pierre Dorion will join us here in a moment, GM of the Sens. Justin Trudeau, the PM, was in town today and was talking about how Ottawa's the last Canadian team standing. And he went with the typical politician move. Let's talk sports and pretend like I'm a man of the people and we all have something in common here, and yet he went with the most predictable take, the take that bothers me every single year. Jonas, you're in the same boat as I am. Oh, you support Trudeau when it comes to this position. Let's hear what he had to say earlier today.
I think all Canadians will be rooting for the final Canadian team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're all happy to support Ottawa right now. Even Torontonians and Montrealers can agree on this particular one.
I love the clapping. Like, what is that all about? Who's clapping? Who's clapping? Age? Like, what was
Sens
that?
Sens fans.
I guess, but it was in Toronto. And anyway, I cannot get behind that. You should not be supporting the Ottawa Senators at any point if you're a Maple Leaf fan or a Habs fan. I would suggest if you're a fan of a team in the Western Conference, maybe you take that approach. Like, if Edmonton was continuing to go on, I wouldn't be out there rooting for them. I wouldn't necessarily have a flag on my car, but I'd be like, okay, go ahead, have some success. I'm cool with that. I support Edmontonians. Same thing with people in Calgary, Winnipeg.
When you have to do some SportsCenter stuff at the conclusion of the game, you're voting for a team to win. So there's no hanging around.
Well, I'll say this. I do appreciate that there is Canadian content still involved in the NHL playoffs. I will take Canadian teams playing over American teams every day of the week because I believe our audience has more of a connection to them. It's easier to relate to what's going on in Ottawa. So I'll take it. I'm not saying I'm anti-Canadian teams playing. I'm just anti the idea of rooting and cheering for a team simply because they're Canadian.
Well, can you imagine sitting at home watching game one and let's say Carlson scores and being like, yeah!
I know.
I could never see you. I couldn't see you doing that.
I know. I don't really see you doing
it. I don't do that, but I just, you like to see the Canadian teams have success. Very simple
but
for me.
Why?
Just because we're Canada. Canadians, aren't we?
Yeah.
So because of the passport.
Aren't you guys tired of American teams winning the Stanley Cup?
Doesn't really affect.
Don't you think an American team's going to win a cup anyway? Do you think Ottawa, like what kind of percentage would you place? Is it 25% across the board? Each team has a 25% chance of winning a cup here?
Lower.
That's a good question. It might be something for Jerry's next week.
Jerry was too
Jerry
lazy.
Might just have to go Carlson come out and get the Stanley Cup. Getzlaff come and get the Stanley Cup. Sidney come and get the Stanley Cup. And Mike Fisher come and get the Stanley Cup.
It is strange that Mike Fisher is the captain of the Nashville Predators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess he fits the mold. He's a really good player, veteran guy. He's been there for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was a big void to fill. According to this moneypuck.com, have you ever seen this? 15.7% for Ottawa to win the cup. That seems about right.
Yeah, I would say that's about right. I mean, with all due respect, I think even Ottawa, because I fully expect Guy Boucher is going to continue to play the underdog role and psych
his
team into it.
Which he played a little disingenuously in the second round.
Oh, big time. They were 2-1.
They were going to get swept.
They were up 2-1, and he's like, if we don't have just the greatest games of our careers, we're not even going to be close tonight. Like, I like this guy. He's been on the show before. He's intense, man. Man, is Guy Boucher intense. And he's done a really quality job. And if you're in Ottawa, you have to feel good about what's going on there. But come on, man. You can't be up 2-1 in a series and pretend like you don't deserve to be there anymore. But I think it will only be extrapolated against Pittsburgh. I think he's going to take it to a completely different level.
Now it's legitimate, though, because now they are the underdogs.
Big time.
Were they really even the big underdogs against New York? Like, maybe slight.
I think it was like maybe 60-40, maybe.
Yeah. I picked Ottawa. How about that?
There you go.
I picked Ottawa in the first two rounds, actually.
Even though you didn't like the process.
There's just something about them this year.
An intangible?
those don't count, Hayes.
Something you can't qualify? Interesting move, Jonas. You're coming around. You're on the wrong side of history all of a sudden. Very interesting take. All right, so I don't know. Maybe Pierre Dorion will join us. Maybe he won't. We're moving heaven and earth to try to get him on, and now I guess maybe he's not happy with our take that we're not going to support his team because we're Canadian.
You too.
I think you're just trying to kiss up to the guy before he comes on. Chris pointing out something that was absolutely intentional. Way to low-key leave Vancouver out of your I would support Canadian teams, Western Canadian teams. Hashtag love it, thanks. I absolutely meant to leave them out.
They're not in the conversation.
Right no, now. But even if they were, I would never cheer for Vancouver.
I think
ever.
2011, I might have cheer? To be on board for that.
I would never support them.
Why?
Ever in a million years because I think that city hates Toronto more than any other city in the country, and that's saying something. That's really saying something. I don't like the act. I don't like everything about it. I'm not a fan.
No.
I'll jump on Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton's bandwagon. Vancouver, I treat them like Montreal. It's the same thing to me.
I am fully supportive of that.
Mm-hmm. And also because I know it's reciprocated. Like, let's be honest, Vancouver would never root for Toronto.
Ever.
A million years. And that's why I found it comical when people were pouncing on me, because I was kind of almost basking in the enjoyment of them dropping down the draft lottery again this year, going from second to fifth. And I'm thinking, do you think they were parading in the streets when the Leafs won the lottery the year before? They were miserable that the Leafs ended up with Auston Matthews. Now, partially because they were in the running that year as well, and they also moved back to fifth. How about Jim Benning's comment yesterday? We didn't get into that, where the GM of the Canucks
doesn't stop.
Goes, quote, I believe this is an exact quote. I might be paraphrasing.
European talent, skill, and North American heart.
Yes.
Yikes.
And defensemen that can move the puck.
Does that bother you? Like, why is that still a thought process in 2017?
It should not be.
North American heart.
The best player maybe in the world right now is Swedish. Maybe.
It's Carlson, yeah. Top three anyway.
Yikes.
Where do you rank him in your top 50?
He's three for me, Carlson. I would have Sid one. I'd go McDavid two. I'd go Carlson three. I think that's reasonable, don't you think?
I think that's probably where I'm going to have mine.
I think Sid...
I don't know, though. I sit and think long and hard about every selection.
You've got all summer to figure that out. It's actually a fun process to go through. I don't know how much you care about it, but it really is. You get to 50 players real quick. Real quick. And then you realize, uh-oh, I don't have room for this guy.
Like, I find the 20 to 35.
I find that a lot of times it really doesn't matter when you're in that range. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the difference between Roman Josi and Claude Giroux, you know, whatever it is.
That's what I have a difficult time. I'm like, I don't know how I can put one guy ahead of the other guy. I don't know how to do that. Like, does it even matter? Do you warrant going ahead?
Mm-hmm.
It's awfully difficult to do.
I think it's the back end that is more interesting because, especially going into this year, like Colorado in particular, Matt Duchene was in my top 50, I believe. McKinnon, I'm not sure I had McKinnon in, but he was close. I don't think you can put anyone from Colorado in the top 50 anymore.
No question. Do you think anyone votes McDavid number one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The guy's a Hart Trophy winner, or is going to win the Hart Trophy.
Matthews in the top 10?
Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Dude.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
He has to be.
Does he?
Name 10 better players than Austin Matthews.
That's a good question.
Jonas, you're on the clock. Name 10 players that you would rather...
Well, I have the list right in front of me, so let's see if some of these guys are better. Kane? Is he better?
It's a tough one to start with.
You probably have to go with Kane.
I think you go with Patty Kane.
Price? So we have Crosby, McDavid, Price, Doughty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Still have Jamie Doughty. Ben, probably not.
No, Matthews ahead of him. No.
Jonathan Taves?
Matthews.
Right? Ovechkin, no. Carlson, yes. John Tavares?
I would take Matthews.
Matthews over T.
Kopitar?
Matthews.
Sagan?
Matthews.
Malkin? No, you wouldn't take. Yes, Malkin gets the nod. Bergeron?
Matthews.
Matthews.
Wow.
Although Bergeron is such a good player.
Okay, so I'll just give you a few more. Stamkos, Gaudreau, Tarasenko?
No, Matthews ahead of all of them.
Not ahead of Tarasenko.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe he is a top 10. That's... Hey, McDavid was... What was McDavid this year? McDavid was 3 coming into the year. So it's not crazy. I mean, Jeff was the guy who said... Well, didn't you say something about McDavid and Matthews?
No, I just... He scored a goal in San Jose.
It was a fair point.
And I said, there's not a guy I would trade him for. And then Edmonton was like... What about McDavid? So I finally got fed up with the abuse, and I said, yes, even McDavid.
It wasn't
And
crazy.
I don't think where it got to the end, he scored 40 goals. He lit it up in the playoffs, too. I don't think it's that far of a stretch.
It's not. He had one of the best rookie seasons ever.
I'm still taking McDavid. But I have said, after you tweeted that out and then the response and we discussed it, for Toronto, the situation they're in, building a program, if I was building this team and I had the pick of the litter, I could take any player in the league. I would take McDavid 1. I would take Matthews 2. Just because of his age and because of his impact. If you're talking about a 7-game series starting tonight, I'm taking Crosby ahead of him. I'm taking Carlson ahead of him. You know, I'd take Carey Price ahead of him. Like, I'd take a number one goalie that can stand on his head. But in terms of building what hopefully is a successful program for the next 10 or 12 years, it's McDavid 1 and Matthews would be 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like and this is something that I think was established towards the end of the year, that McDavid is clearly, he's the number one guy, but Matthews is closer to McDavid than he is to that next level of really quality young players. Like, I think he's in that stratosphere. Like, the impact he has on a game is remarkable.
No question.
And he's a big game player. He's a guy, he scores in every situation. I don't think he'll have difficulty scoring close to 40 again next year because of where he scores goals. He goes to the front of the net. Right? Like, he's a guy who scores goals.
That's why he's such a special talent. I'm going to probably have to do a highlight package of all the different ways he can score goals, but he can score goals all different ways.
Every which way.
Should we ask the GM where he would rank his guy?
You want to put him on the spot right off the hop?
Sure.
Yeah, we can do that.
He doesn't care.
All right, here's the GM of the Ottawa Senators, Pierre Dorion. How you doing, Pierre?
Good in beautiful Pittsburgh. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing this. We were just talking about where your guy, Erik Karlsson, would rank on our list of best players in the world, and we all agreed he's top 3. A variety of combinations. It could be Sid, it could be McDavid, it could be Karlsson. We'll put you on the spot, though. If you were to rank it, where would you have Karlsson?
Top 3.
Good job, Pierre.
That's a great answer. Very good answer.
I'm getting to be a better politician in this job.
Yes. You've been living in Ottawa long enough now, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, he's, man, he's been unbelievable. And we talked about this earlier in the week as well, how I find that it's kind of aggravating that people are calling this a coming out party. I can't imagine how you're reacting to that kind of take, considering how great this guy's been for as long as he has been.
No, he's been very good for a long time for us. He's been an impact guy, a dynamic player, someone who's led us offensively. But this year, it seems that under this coaching staff, he's really they've given him a broader role as far as killing penalties and shortening his shifts and doing whatever it takes to win, and he's embraced that role.
You sure he's shortening his shifts? I think the other night he had some monsters.
Yeah. it was funny. With about 10 minutes to go, I turned to Mr. Melnick and I said, you know what? If you could play the next 10 minutes straight, I'd be pretty happy. And it almost was that. I think he played over 6.5 of the last 8 minutes or something like that. So it's pretty good. He's pretty special.
Pierre, do you – sorry.
Go ahead, Jonas.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you remember 2008 draft, he goes 15 to you guys. Do you remember what you guys were thinking at that time when you picked him? Like, did you have the sneaky suspicion that everybody just missed on this?
No. I think we have to be honest with our assessment. We liked him. I think he was 7th on our list. And I regret saying that because people are going to say, well, who are the 6 better players than him? But we can't forget that he was 5'10.5", 157 pounds. We saw something special. A lot of the credit has to go to Brian Murray. He moved from 18 to 15 because he knew how much the scouting staff and led by myself, how much we liked him. So, if he doesn't make that move with David Poile, then I don't know if Eric Carlson's ever is an Ottawa center. I heard rumblings that the team that was picking 17 was going to take him. So, we all know what goes on drafts, and sometimes scouts talk too much, and maybe it was to our benefit, but Brian knew that when we met the previous night that if we could move up a few spots, there would be a better chance that we could get him. But that was definitely the guy that we targeted through for that draft.
Pierre, how much fun are you having during this run? I had one experience with Carolina going to the finals. It's hard to describe. You're just, there's a new opponent, there's new excitement, and you get home games, and just everybody's in it together. It's quite an experience, isn't it?
You're so right, Jeff. I think we're embracing how much fun we're having. It's for us, whoever would have ever thought a year ago, and it's almost a year to the day when Guy was named coach, that we'd be one of the final four teams, and the players are having fun. There's a smile on their face, and they're still enjoying playing the game, and I hope it continues for a little while longer, but we know we've got our hands full. But it definitely is a lot of fun.
We're chatting with the GM of the Ottawa Senators, Pierre Dorion. The Prime Minister was in town today, and he suggested that every Canadian should jump on the Senators' bandwagon, including people in Toronto and Montreal. And I believe you were talking about this yesterday when you were chatting with the media, saying you think that would be a great idea. So let me flip the script on you, Pierre. Are you telling me that if and when Toronto gets to the conference final or the Stanley Cup final, you will be supporting the Maple Leafs?
I'm not going to answer that because I'd probably have to lie to you.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So you don't really expect people in Toronto, Montreal to jump on your bandwagon, do you?
But at heart, I'm still a Canadian, and I'm very proud to be a Canadian. And I know that no Canadian team has won in quite a few years. So I just told people, I think it's an honor for us to be where we are right now. I think we got a lot of good stories in Ottawa. We got a lot of good things that have happened with our team this year. We don't expect to change your alliances. When you're a Leaf fan, you're a Leaf fan. When you're a Habs fan, you're a Habs fan. That will never change. Most people, it's blood for them, whoever you cheer for. But, if you could get on our bandwagon and support us, I think it'd be something pretty good.
You mentioned the stories and really the adversity your team has had to go through this year with Craig Anderson's wife being diagnosed with cancer and him leaving the team for an extended period of time. Clark MacArthur returning from a concussion out of nowhere. Then he scores the series winner in Game 6 in Boston, which was just an incredible story. And I'm sure there are others that I'm not even mentioning right now. How has this season and everything you guys have gone through maybe helped your team and helped lead you to the position you're in today?
Oh, there's no doubt that I think all the things that we've gone through this year have helped us bond together as a group. I mentioned it yesterday briefly in my news conference. I think we've gone from being a hockey club to a family. You see how much the guys care about each other, tease each other, and there's a lot of teasing going on through the year. But I think they have one goal, and when you care so much about the guy on your left or on your right or across from you, I think there's a sentiment that, we could maybe achieve something special. Again, we're playing the defending cup champion, so it's not going to be easy. They got a few offensive weapons that are pretty dangerous, and their goaltending is as good as any other team has had in the playoffs. So we've got our hands full, but hopefully we can give them a run for their money.
How do you like the owner sitting beside you? I saw that the other night, and you can lie if you want, but I thought to myself, I would not like that.
It's funny. He was mentioning, Mr. Malik was mentioning to, our team services that he really enjoys sitting beside me. And, you know, he pays the bill. And every game we've sat together, we've won on the road. And the two games that we didn't sit together, we lost. So he can sit as long as he wants to sit with me and we keep on winning, I'm happy.
Well, that's probably
I don't care if he pays the bill. I would say to the owner, I don't like sitting beside you.
what if Pierre likes sitting beside him?
Go ahead. But I'm just saying, if it were me, I would be like, I would just leave.
So you're saying that you are not superstitious at all. If you were winning nonstop with the owner,
I just wouldn't want to get the hairy eyeball if we're getting blown out.
That's a good point, Pierre. What happens if you guys are losing like really badly? Does he get ornery beside you, or what happens?
No, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. I think he understands where we are this year, what we've accomplished, and there's no easy games in the playoffs. I think the last four series, including ours, two series went to Game 7, two series went to Game 6 in the first round, except I think for one round, every game, every series didn't go four games. So it's really competitive. You know, one little break here, one little break there can change the flow of a series. So I think he's pretty understandable. And he'll ask questions, and he's fairly knowledgeable when it comes to hockey. He's owned our team for, you know, quite a few years now. And sometimes he'll ask little things that are going on in the game, and at least I can give him an answer. And, you know, we have a pretty good relationship, and it's developed over the course of the year. And I really feel comfortable having him right beside me.
Do you expect any animosity between Crosby and Mathot going into this series, considering their recent history?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think that's, to me, that's almost water under the bridge. It's gone. It happened. I think we got a few more worries. I think Mark has a few more worries than Sidney Crosby, and I think it's more the Penguins against the Senators.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing how it all kicks off starting tomorrow night. Enjoy the ride, and I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you for doing this.
Okay, it's a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Pierre Dorion, GM, the Ottawa Senators.
Jonas, you mailed that one in.
I thought my question was good. How about
you? What was
it? Well, thanks for listening.
I never listen to other people's questions.
Seriously?
No.
That's disrespectful.
When it's my turn, it's my turn. When I'm done, I'm done.
I asked him about the 2008 draft when they picked him 15th, and I'm just looking at it. So you probably didn't listen to his answer either. He said they had Carlson.
They had him at 7.
Yeah, so who do you think? There's too many guys who could be ahead of him, but if you're looking back now, who would you have taken ahead of him at this point? Would you take Doughty, Stamkos, or would he be first?
If you're redoing the draft,
yeah,
starting like today, or based on what they've done throughout their career?
Based on like everything we know right now.
Hmm.
I think
I
it really
have
comes
to take
down
him
to
first.
Yeah, I think it comes
might
down
have to
to
go Carlson, Stamkos, Doughty.
Doughty.
I think Doughty's two.
I would have a. It's a coin flip, Carlson and Doughty.
Yeah.
I think you can't go wrong with either guy. They're both brilliant, and they both helped their teams. They both won awards, won cups. Well, not cups, but
we're gonna do something next week. Me, you, and Noodles, which I got clickbaited on Facebook. Rank the last 10 first overall picks from 1 to 10.
There's some not good ones.
Well, they're the easy ones. You shuffle them down to the bottom. But we're going to get into that next week.
It's a good idea. It's a good bit.
Yeah. So you're talking John Tavares, Sidney Crosby, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Alex Daigle.
No,
Alex Ovechkin in 04, if you want to include that. You want to go all the way back there. Patrick Kane. I mean, we
R&H.
All know.
Oof,
your boy
R&H might not be that high.
He would be really low, but it's not, you know, it's not that he's not a good player. It's that there's just been great players that have gone first overall.
Robin Williams, it's not your fault.
All right, we caught up with Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays, earlier. We had so many things to get into with him, with all of these injuries and all of the guys who are on the DL who could be coming off the DL. We got you an update on Donaldson, an update on Sanchez.
Everything. It's jam-packed.
A lot of different things. So we'll recap that conversation next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check out every hour of the show on iTunes. Get to our best bets, 3 stars later in the hour. Jays back in action tonight. They're winning some ball games. You know, you got to give them credit. They've got all that talent and salary on the DL, yet they continue to plug away. And they're still miles behind Baltimore and New York and even Boston and Tampa, but they're chipping away. And I got to be honest, I did not expect them to win the past couple of nights. I did not expect them to put up 15 runs collectively over the course of two games, considering all of the power and all of the talent to get on the DL. We caught up with Ross Atkins, GM of the Blue Jays, earlier in the afternoon, and he happened to come on just as the O-Dog revealed to the world that he doesn't like being called big guy, which was news to me because I call him big guy or big fella, big cat, almost every hour on the hour. And as Ross was on hold, we were talking about that, and then we brought him in, and we pointed out that he must be pretty happy about the way his team is playing, considering all the injuries that they have had to deal with.
What's up, Brian?
We're Jeff, doing okay.
How you guys doing? Yeah,
we're doing good, Ross.
Yeah, man, these guys, they haven't backed down from the challenge. They've plugged away. It's created some opportunities for guys like Ryan Goins and Joe Biagini, Mike Bolsinger, some names that we weren't talking about a ton this offseason, but can't say enough about what Kevin Pillar and Justin Smoak have done, too, not just over the last week, but this entire year. They've been remarkable. So if we can add JD and Russ and Tulo back into that lineup, Kendrys Morales should be in it soon, and Smokey and KP stay on the same pace, we'll have a very good offense. And the opportunity it's created for some of the guys in our bullpen, and Ryan Tepera and Aaron Loop, Dominic Leon, those guys have really answered the bell as well. Joe Smith. So, there has been some silver lining, and I think it's the silver lining is starting to pay some dividends. And I'm really glad you guys didn't refer to me as a big guy when you brought me on.
You don't like that either, do you?
But Buddy's my least favorite.
Oh, yeah. Buddy.
I think you can throw in Chief as well, Ross.
Chief is terrible.
Doesn't that mean the guy doesn't know your name? Like, whenever you get a buddy, he has no idea what
Chief
your name is.
Chief is the main, I don't know your name.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty patronizing.
Ross, you just mentioned JD. Like, is there an update on him? He's kind of a guy that... I haven't heard much about. What's the update on Josh Donaldson?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's got all the weight on his calf. He's got all the range of motion and strength, and now it's just a matter of building him back up and getting reps. So, without any setbacks, I think we're within 2 weeks, and we'll see, because every day is more information. But we're extremely optimistic that he's playing in the month of May.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Blue Jays, back in action tonight. Aaron Sanchez, John Gibbons just speaking with the media, and it sounds as if he's going to be ready to go on Sunday. In terms of what you expect out of him coming into the season, there were a lot of people predicting that he would end up winning a Cy Young this year. When he gets off to the start he does simply because of the injury, how does it adjust what you expect out of him the rest of the way?
I mean, it really just comes down to, how long he's doing it. We expect similar performance when he gets back out here and built up. Again, he won't, come out of the gates and throw 8 or 9 innings, but I wouldn't be surprised if, he's pitching in the last game of the year, and it means everything for us. So because he's got the potential to be the best we have, and we still feel that way. Unfortunately, because of the fingernail, he's just pitched a little bit less.
Obviously, Russell Martin, a huge part of your team, and now that he's on the DL, it affects who's going to be behind plate every single night, but also it affects your pitching staff. What kind of adjustments have to be made in terms of the staff, in terms of the approach, in terms of a daily game plan when a guy like Russ is out of the lineup?
Well, a couple of things. One, Luke Maley's been great. He's really, I wish I would have mentioned him previously, because he's handled our pitchers as well as we could ask. It's the game calling, the leadership, the glove work. He had an incredible caught stealing. I think it was 2 nights ago. That was huge for us. So he's really filled in well for us. And I think one of the reasons he has is because Russ is by his side. you know, Russ has helped him along the way. Pete Walker and Dane Johnson have obviously done a good job as well. But, you know, Russ is there with him in between innings. He's there with him before a game, after a game, exchanging ideas. And he's got the natural and fundamental ability to handle the information and maximize it. So we're really encouraged by the work. And, you know, that we really can't say enough about the work that he's done.
Ross, you mentioned Kevin Pillar, and obviously we know him for his defensive kind of theatrics. Is there something that sticks out about him right offensively right now? Like, is there anything that you've kind of pinpointed that's allowing him to have the success he's had?
You know, he had after the playoffs last year, he made a commitment to his teammates, to us, that he was going to solidify a better approach and plan at the plate. And it's easy to say, it's easy to talk about, to say I'm going to be a more disciplined hitter, I'm going to go up with a more disciplined plan to get the best pitch possible and sell out on that than it is to do. And I think that's what he's doing. He is completely selling out to a plan and saying, regardless of what happens, and you know, to simplify what that means, really, it's being okay with striking out. And sometimes for young hitters coming into the game, that's really difficult for them to digest. That I'm going to go up there and it's going to be okay if I take the pitch that I wasn't looking for and turn around and walk back to the dugout. And he's getting deeper into counts. He's seeing more pitches. He's thinking along the lines with the pitcher and probably from time to time making really good decisions that puts him in a position to drive the ball. It's turned into walks, and so on-base percentage and slugging percentage is higher. It's a real easy thing for us in offices to talk about, and wow, we wish this guy was more disciplined. It's really hard to do, but he committed to it at the last game of the season last year. He worked on it all year, all off season, and I think now we're just seeing that hard work coming into play.
This is probably the deepest into an interview we've gone without bringing up Jose Bautista in quite some time. And leading into the season, obviously he was a focal point of conversation, and he has not been off to a good start. And there's a lot of people turning on him, a lot of people suggesting his age has finally caught up to him. I remember asking you before the season began, what makes you believe he can have a bounce-back year? We're a month and a half into the season now. He has not bounced back yet. What continues to give you confidence that he will turn this around?
Yeah, I mean, all the things that, you know, you look at other than results, and they're all there. So obviously the track record is there. The work ethic is there. He had an incredible offseason. He's in incredible shape. The attention to detail is there. His commitment and his confidence and his pride, they're all there. So that's what gives us confidence that it will turn. I think, you know, we've seen, not just in the last couple of days where he smoked balls and they've been right at guys or pulled, you know, hit the home run three nights ago, and not just those, but we've seen other signs that all of Jose Bautista it's still in there. So, I think getting back our entire offense he'll benefit from as well. And never make any excuses for anyone, but just for context, I think we saw not only some very good pitching having played the Tampa Bay Rays as much as we did, having played the Cleveland Indians, having played, when we faced Baltimore, their pitching was actually extremely effective and guys were executing exceptionally well. So, you know, it's not often that we look up and say, wow, Jose or Kevin Pierce or whoever it may be should have smoked that ball. And, you know, excuse me, Steve Pierce, Kevin Pillar, should have smoked that ball. I mean, a lot of times it's execution, but now it's the mistakes are being driven more readily, and Jose really looks like he's turning a corner.
With Ross Atkins, it really is incredible. Just prior to having you on, I said that your team has scored 15 runs in the past two games. Just based on the lineup, I mean, you just said it. Your offense, for the most part, is on the DL. I can't recall the last time I looked at a lineup card the way I did a few nights ago and said, I have no idea how they're going to win. I really don't. I mean, there's just so much talent on the DL. Have you ever come across a situation like this?
You know what? I haven't thought about it that way and gone back over my 20 years in baseball and said, okay, how many star players were on that, or 15 years in a front office were. I haven't thought about it that way, but I'm sure it's happened. You know, I now if if these guys don't have any more, if these guys need to get back onto the field and not have any setbacks, and or that will be something that I've never experienced. But, you know, short-term injuries where guys are missing weeks and, you know, maybe a month, that occurs often in baseball, and we have a few of them that have happened at once. But, you know, for some context, Russell Martin could be playing at the end of 10 days, you know, Morales didn't even go on to, Kendrys didn't even go on to the DL. So, you know, that's just a part of it. We've had a lot of them in and around happen at one time. But the other thing that I think draws attention to it is the 10-day DL. So not only the Toronto Blue Jays, but all teams more readily are using it because your player is not going to be out for 15 days. So now that, you know, the player that needs a week to recover from something soft tissue, or in the case of Russell Martin, a neck injury, you more readily will go to that 10-day. But there were many times last year that we just didn't play Russ for 3 or 4 days, or didn't play Tulo for a few, or didn't play JD for 3 or 4. And so when you have the 10-day, it's easier to use.
How concerned are you that age could be a part of the issue here with injuries? You guys are, if not the oldest team in the league, real close to it.
You know, it's really just, you know, there's a benefit to age. And I say this all the time and wholeheartedly believe it, that I love experience. I love what it means for the heartbeat, for guys as leaders. The guys play when a more veteran player is typically playing for one reason. They're waking up every day and playing through pain for one reason, is to win. So that's the upside of it, and I'll take that all day long. You'd rather have, ideally, a balance where you have all of those things. You have some youth, and you have usually what it means is a little bit more durability, you know, a little bit more speed potentially, but not always. So it just really depends. So we like our team. We like the way it projects. We feel like we have a chance to get this thing turned around, and, you know, really is age and a component that could have contributed to some of these injuries? Sure, could have.
All right, Chief. Thanks
for
doing
this. Come on, man. We can't end it like that.
All right, big guy. Yeah, there you go.
You guys.
Get your shot in now while you can. Appreciate it, Ross. Thank you for doing this as always.
All right, Brian. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
There's Ross Atkins, GM of the Blue Jays. Team back in action tonight. Joe Biagini back on the mound starting. Second start.
That grizzled vet really got the job done last night with the wet hair and the fist pump. Come on!
He really gets fired up. And it's funny how no one really cares about that. When Stroman gets fired up, it's an issue. But when old man Jason Grilley does it, it's all good.
I like the grilled cheese.
He gets himself in trouble.
I know.
He got
himself in trouble. His arm's going to fall off one day. But
I know. He has not had a great
I love his mullet, season. The wet mullet.
Just seems like he steps up there and someone's on base before you can even blink.
And then there could be a tired arm pizza coming down the middle and just yard.
He survived last night. He got away with it. All right, we'll get to our best bets. 3 stars. Recap what was a busy afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'll take the Marlins tonight over the Braves, Cleveland at home over the Twins, and Kershaw and the Dodgers visitor plus in Colorado. Throw down 20 and you can score 70. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Didn't the Twins dummy the Sox last night? The White Sox?
I'm not worried about it. Okay, Cleveland, I think, even though the Jays just took 2 or 3 out of them, it's a matter of time before they start really taking off. I think Scotty Mack had them winning 100 games. I don't see that happening anymore.
I was thinking about the White Sox last night. They're one of their pitcher last night. His name's Derek Holland. This guy's on Instagram 24/7. I'm going to have to stop following because it's so annoying. I wonder, and he just got shelled last night.
What does that mean? Does that mean he posts a lot of stuff?
Everything. Videos at dinner. Videos walking his dog. Videos. It's everything.
Oh, God.
I wonder if somebody goes up to him and says, hey, they're focusing on baseball, not your Instagram. There are some people on Instagram, man. It dominates their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
I'm kind of like that with Twitter, though. I got to be honest. I don't tweet all the time, but I'm constantly like checking Twitter, see what kind of news is out there.
Well, it's instant information.
It's a horrible addiction to have, but it's the truth, man. It's life in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got control of your Twitter account, Jonas.
Yeah,
you're like a reporter. You're very dignified on
there. I try to just stay away from it. I don't like how that... I don't know. What do you do when you're with someone who's like that, who's just like constantly post? Can you imagine being with someone for dinner and they're just posting videos constantly?
I would leave.
Yeah, it really does ruin the experience. Like, I'll give you one pick. If we're out, let's do a pick quickly. My wife and I, because she'll sometimes want to take different picks, or I didn't like that pick or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, come on, can we please just hammer the pick out? I'm cool with the one pick, but then beyond that, no more picks.
Let's get to the booze.
Like, don't paparazzi yourself. Like, people paparazzi themselves. They go TMZ on themselves.
Anyway. Yeah, they do.
All right, you guys want to get to the three stars after a busy day, busy week?
Overdrive, three stars of the day.
I'll do all three.
Go ahead.
First star, me and Pierre Dorian. Second star, Brian Hayes. Third star, Jonas.
Who gives himself a first star?
I thought me and Pierre Dorian were good today.
Put him on the spot a little bit with the sitting beside Eugene Melnick question, but I think it had to be asked. I think everyone feels uncomfortable.
Putting him on the spot?
Well, you know, what's he going to say? Yeah, I hate sitting beside the guy. It's a must-lie situation.
I thought it was a must-ask.
Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press. Third star. That's a decent accomplishment.
Well, given that the guy naming them named himself, it's pretty good.
Get used to it, man. I was never in the three stars for like a year and a half. Now I get in there every once in a while.
I guess you didn't do a good enough job.
That's right.
The process wasn't there.
Thanks for stepping in. As always, Noodles should be back on Monday. We're out of here. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.